This podcast is brought to you by sarahraven.com, which is home to everything you need for a truly beautiful and productive garden. You'll also find great and essential gardening kit and stylish, lovely things to have in your house to bring the outside indoors, all inspired by the garden and the house being tied together. There's also plenty of garden inspiration, how-to videos and specialist growing guides. So head over to sarahraven.com today to discover even more. Welcome to Grow, Cook, Eat, Arrange, the podcast of me, Sarah Raven, and my friend and colleague, Arthur Parkinson. We've already done a sort of summary of what we think are top picks of the spring and summer range, but it was Arthur's suggestion, actually, to do new things to sow, to plant out later in the year. And I thought it was a really lovely idea because I really genuinely love sowing seeds. I love the whole process of going out there, having the radio, the smell of the wet compost or the damp compost, pelargoniums in the polytunnel, all that kind of stuff. It's so nostalgic and it's so sort of soothing and creative. It's my happy place to be. So that's why I was very happy that Arthur thought it was a good idea to just chat about a few new things, or, you know, maybe some oldies, but a few new things that we're going to be sowing and growing in 2024.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that statement. There is something very, very therapeutic, isn't there, about the whole seed tray experience. You can go to the garden centre as much as you want if you're lucky enough to be able to shop as you drop. But to grow something yourself from seed is such a lovely thing, and it's easy to forget the times to sow things through the year. So that's why I thought it might be nice to do this. I mean, the first thing I've sown this year, as we're talking, it's not even emerged yet, but on the windowsill I've got two terracotta pots, and each terracotta pot has got four seeds of the Cabea Scandens cup and saucer vine, mainly because our garden's very small and every year I have this problem with the fences. So I really want to drape the fences with foliage and hopefully flower this year. And I know that that is going to grow, hopefully like the clappers, once it's planted out in, you know, late May, because it's tender until it gets warm. But once it warms up, it will grow really fast. And if you forget about Cabea Scandens and sow it later in the year, it tends to not flower. So it's one of the things that is a lovely thing to sow now inside. And you don't need many of it because it becomes a very big seedling quite quickly, doesn't it? So you don't need more than a trio, I don't think, for a small garden.
No, totally, totally. Oh, well, I'm glad you mentioned a climber first, because I'm actually going to mention an edible climber as my first one. And it's because I was so blown away by these two seeds on trial in 23. And I've tried to fast track them, but I'm not absolutely sure I've succeeded. But it doesn't matter. We are going to grow them again in 24. And they are an unbelievably prolific sort of round bean, like a French bean, which is yellow, really like primrose yellow, called Monte Gusto. And it's obviously Italian, but we trialled it with three or four other climbing yellow beans last year. And Monte Gusto just way outrun all the others. I mean, if it was a marathon, Monte Gusto would have done a triple marathon compared to the others. And one, its prolificness. Two, its unbelievable length of flowering. So Adam and I had it every night for about 3.5 months. Three, its elegance. And four, that it was quite strong. And so this year, I'm planting it all the way down the arches in the perennial cutting garden. And the reason is Josie and I have been looking for something that grows up the sides of the arches, but meets in the middle and then hangs down. And do you know, we've tried so many different things. So we tried hops to start with, and they got rust and they didn't look nice at the base. And we've tried tunbergias, which I absolutely adore, but they tend not to quite meet in the middle. Cabea does, which you've mentioned, so we always grow that. But these beans, I'm pretty sure Monte Gusto is going to meet in the middle. And we had in the veg garden here, we had a runner bean, which was the most sumptuous looking thing, which was called Black Knight. And it's a runner bean that has scarlet flowers like Polestar or a standard runner, but it has these incredibly rich ebony coloured beans rather than green. And we were incredibly lucky to have the most lovely event last year where our daughter got married here. And the two fantastic florists who've been on a previous podcast, actually called Connie and Jessie Booth. They covered the tables with lots and lots of dahlias, but with these two types of bean, both Black Knight and Monte Gusto. And they were just so stylish, tasted good. We ate them. We loved them. We looked at them. Unbelievably wonderful, I think. And I had another discovery. Sorry, I'm banging on a bit here, but about another edible that's supremely beautiful and elegant that I picked a lot and used in my Create Academy cutting patch course, which was the Blue Chocker purple podded pea. And what I discovered is that with the Blue Chocker, they're quite starchy for the eating. So they make a really nice crostini with mint and things, a topping. But the thing that I loved them more for, to be honest, was picking them as a cut flower. And I got a very sharp, a serrated knife like you would use to chop up tomatoes. And I just sliced open the pod. So then you had the dark crimson shell, you know, the pod colour, and then the bright, incredibly jewel-like green peas inside. And I just slightly forced them open and I had them in tresses running all the way down the table for a party we had here in August and then also at the wedding. And they just look marvellous. So for eating and for admiring, the yellow bean Monte Cristo, the black runner Black Knight and the purple podded pea Blau Schocker are come with huge recommendation. So I'm going massive on them this year.
I like that blue pea too. I used to grow it at the Emma Bridgewater factory because they'd always be doing vegetable patterns. So I used to grow it, as you've said, for still life in the shop. And I loved it. I found it so rewarding and it's so unique in that dense colour. But I love the idea of splitting it so you get the pea inside. Oh, beautiful.
So lovely and vigorous. So that's why they're good for arches, I think.
Like the Christmas decorations of veg you've got from Venice, aren't they?
Beautiful. Exactly, exactly. Yeah. I'm sure that's what they reminded me of, which is why I love them so much. So what's your next one?
Well, I'm trying to branch out a bit with my seed sowing of flowers, and I want kind of a little bit more cottage gardenery seed sowing going on rather than just cosmos and dahlias. And I remember on the central table, I think it must have been summer, not spring, in the cutting garden, you'd got an amazing galvanized round planter that wasn't too deep, but it was quite big. And in them, you'd got the Cellini pendulas. I think that's how I pronounced them. And they looked like miniature corn cockles, and they were in such vibrant colours. It almost looked like they could have self-seeded themselves in there.
Lovely.
So I think I've got time to sow those for summer flower. But with them, I wanted to grow as like a spiller, the Fumbergia African sunsets to spill out, which I think might work.
Definitely.
And then also I want either in with them or in separate pots. I absolutely love the Schizanthus.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's one actually, because you can just Instagram anything you want to grow these days and up comes a million and one photos.
Yeah.
But I Instagrammed them and Fluette Flower actually had a huge armful of them of a mix called Angel's Wings. So I'm going to try and seek that one out, as well as growing the Badger's Hybrid mix. Because I just want to do more kind of Beatrix Potter tapestry-like flowers, as well as all the traditional favourites that we love. It might work. I mean, it's about working out, isn't it, at this time of year, how I'm going to sow everything and the timings to get the combinations. So I know with Fumbergias, for example, I will sow them, but they won't be able to go outside until, you know, June time. Whereas the other things, I think I'll be able to sow a bit earlier and just keep them more protected, maybe under cloches and cold frames.
Yeah. My only worry about the Cellini, I absolutely love it. It's fragrant. I think it's so pretty, but it doesn't flower for hugely long. I would say it will flower sort of mid-May to mid-July. But, you know, then if you've got other things coming along, and then the Schizanthus, if you sow those in August, they flower in April, and they were used hugely by the Victorians to stand in for pelargoniums, for their pelargonium-tiered theatres in their greenhouses. Because, of course, pelargoniums in the spring don't look so good, so they would grow the Schizanthus in terracotta pots to fill their stage theatres. And I remember seeing that in the beautiful garden, Audley End, near Saffron Walden. They had them there. But you can sow them in spring, and then, as you say, they'll flower in August. So the Silene might go over, but then the Skyxanthus could take over from them. So I think that sounds like a wonderful combination. And I'm going to do a combination too, which is three things in a pot. And I think I'm probably going to do them in the same pot, but also echo them in separate pots. And I'm going to go for Zinnia Queenie Mix, which I know you've mentioned in another podcast, but you know, I just love it. It's got a bit of Queenie Red Lime. It's got a bit of Queenie Orange. And I think there's a couple of other varieties in there, but it's very, very calm and harmonious and sort of muted like a tapestry. And we had it growing here in a big line, which is beautiful, but I actually want to grow it in a pot so you see it from all round in a round or oval pot. And then to a bit of height coming up through that, I'm going to try the sort of primrose sort of slashed apricot, Antirrhinum Cost apricot, which I was blown away by last year in our Antirrhinum trial. And again, we'd have grown lots more of that. So the Antirrhinum, I'm going to sow literally now because I need to get going with them. The Zinnia I won't sow till probably mid to late April. But then I'm going to have one other thing in this sort of combination, which is one of these Cetarias, these grasses that look almost like a sort of squirrel tail in miniature. So they're really fluffy. And we had Cetaria viridis caramel Cetaria, I think Italica caramel in pots this year, but we also had the straight species Cetaria viridis in a bed below, and you honestly couldn't tell the difference. And then there's another one, which is a red variety, and they are quite strong self-sowers, particularly the species viridis. So if you're a very neat gardener, you want to be wary of them. But I love them for their texture from the moment they come out in June till when they get blown apart by the wind in December normally. So I think all those sort of ornamental grasses and the millets, the Cetarias, they're just beautiful. So that's going to creep in as the upper story in that pot.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more about those Cetarias. I like Red Jewel the most.
Yeah, that's it.
And it's such a lovely big seed. It's really easy. You can space it out in a seed tray and it will come up very quickly. So yeah, I'm growing lots of that to dob in everywhere because it becomes a natural bird feeder as well as soon as it starts to ripen.
Yeah.
So, you know, best of both worlds.
Great, great. Any others?
Well, things I'm looking forward to, all these buddleias that I've got, which I got quite late in the season. So they actually weren't in flower, but I've got them in quite a few dolly tubs, underplanted with that traditional perennial wallflower, Bowles Mauve.
Yes.
Just so they've got a lower story and then I get a higher story. And I'm hoping, because all the buddleias are the Buzz series, as long as I keep deadheading them, those pots should hopefully be quite perennial stalwarts to the garden. Because as I keep saying in a few podcasts, I don't want every single pot to feel like it needs something to be sown into it or something new. I want to get a better backbone to the garden. So I'm looking forward to those coming up.
Good. Well, I'm going to break away from seed too for the last couple of things, which is I'm intensely excited by two new dahlias that we've bred. And I just thought new sowing and growing for 2024, I couldn't not mention these. The first one, Adam's Choice, we found in August 22. And it's the most wonderful thing, which I've done a whole podcast about with Josie, but you walk into this field and you are literally, I feel like I'm a child in Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. It's like ahead of you is the most exciting band of sweeties, some of which you don't want, but luckily there's always two or three that they just make my pulse go. And Adam's Choice was one from summer 22, which we named after Adam, who spotted it, my husband. And it reminds me of a toffee apple. So it's really caramelly in the anemone flower group. And we haven't got many tubers of that yet, but we've just got a few to release in mid to late spring. And so I'm really excited about that one. And then we fast-tracked one from August 23 visit to Holland. And I've been on the lookout, to be honest, requested by a lot of florists for a really jazzy, bright pink, showy, glamorous pink cactus dahlia. So, you know, with the spiky needle flowers. And, you know, we've got them in dark, we've got, you know, which is like nudité or chat noir, whatever. You know, we've got them in a range of colours. There's a white called fur, you know, there's lots in that spiky range. But we haven't got a brilliant pink. And so one of my quests when I was in Holland was to find a really glamorous, incredibly elegant, spiky pink cactus dahlia. And we did. And so we've selected that and managed to fast track it. And that is, I've just named that after my daughter-in-law, Clara Zack, which I think is rather a fantastic name and rather suits a dahlia. So yeah, that would be my final one. And again, we haven't got huge numbers of that in this season, but certainly I'm really excited to be growing a big bank of both Adam's Choice and Clara Zack in summer 24.
Yeah, I've got Adam's Choice on order. I'm looking forward to him. He's going to be in a pot.
Good. Well, we need to get a dahlia Arthur Parkinson in summer 24 and off we must go. Good. Oh, well, that's so lovely. It's very nice to sort of look forward, isn't it? To think of walking through the garden with all these things flowering, but also to relish the time that one can take to sow and grow them in the spring. And as I say, there are no or few greater pleasures in my life than pottering off down to the polytunnel, the coal frames on a Saturday morning, knowing I haven't got anything to do with the radio, and off I go sowing or planting my tubers. And those of you who buy most things, as I know you have to do, like Arthur, if you don't have the space or the infrastructure, but just try one or two things on your window ledges, because it's unbelievably exciting and rewarding. And seeing them then flowering out in the garden like the cabea until Christmas is just a real life enhancer. Thanks so much for listening to Arthur Parkinson and myself, Sarah Raven, on Grow Cookie to Range. And next week, I'm joined by Jemima Bowker, who used to be an intern at Pertschill 3 years ago, then came to work with us here. And she is now helping me pull together a sort of sub-range within the Sarah Raven range for beginner gardeners. And so it's whether you're young, like Jemima is, or older, if you're a beginner, we're going to really try and highlight the real cream of the crop that are easy to grow, incredibly high performing, absolutely beautiful, and that suit, on the whole, a slightly smaller space, as beginner gardeners often start with. You can find more information, photos, and advice sheets on all the plants and recipes we talk about on this podcast by heading to the show notes or at sarahraven.com/podcast.